Welcome to Portal to Ascension Radio. We are a consciousness-raising organization designed to uplift and empower humanity and pave the way so we may usher in a new reality of unity and harmony for all inhabitants on Earth. Our mission is to awaken, inform, educate, and inspire remembrance through exploring deeply esoteric topics, the true and forgotten history of our planet, and our connection to the cosmos. For paradigm-shifting awareness, tune into our YouTube channel at Portal to Ascension. On Portal to Ascension Radio, we feature speaker interviews and presentations featured on our website. Sign up at portaltoascension.org for access to hundreds of hours of our next dimensional content. Now, let's get into today's discussion.
Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. This is Neil with Portal to Ascension. So good to be here with you all. Hope you're doing beautifully. And today we have another amazing person coming to Portal to Ascension. I hope you've been enjoying all the new people that we've been bringing forward. And as I've shared, I share this a lot, but I'll keep sharing it because I really love the fact that we do this, is getting the opportunity on Portal to Ascension, not only to work with people that have been doing this work for a while, not only work with some major luminaries that have done some shifts, but also create a platform for many individuals out there to have a voice to share their gifts with the world. So today, we have Jess Rothenstein joining us. And Jess is a dedicated metaphysical conduit, deeply fascinated by the multifaceted expressions of consciousness. Rooted in extensive self-study, research, and experience, her work encompasses oraculous-style channeling, integrated divination practices. Jess interprets and invokes synchronicity, recognizing it as an omniversal language unique to each individual's essence, while holding space for others to deepen the intuitive channels. Clear cartography, which is clear mapping of blueprints and grids, refining frequency embodiment through DNA and cellular alchemy, Jess supports the restoration of angelic crystalline DNA, our inherent abundance, fostering a collective imprint for divine alignment and multidimensional community weaving. Jess, thank you so much for being here. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Neil. Good to see you too. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad and I'm excited that you're part of Portal to Ascension. And this is cool because this is the first time we're getting to talk in person online like this. So we get to know each other and get to know more about you. So I'd love for you to start out with a question I'd love to give everyone is, what was your journey like? Because, you know, a lot of people, everybody in this world, comes from so many different traditions, religions, belief systems. Some people feel like they're born with it and their gifts were cultivated their whole life. Other people, maybe there were certain milestone moments that actually shifted them from one belief system into a greater understanding of who they are. So I'm curious, what was your journey like? How did it begin for you?
Oh, thank you. To sit and try and pinpoint one thing, obviously it's not just so linear, but I will say one thing I love to do is listen to other people's stories as well. So I've had a lot of time to listen and not as much, I guess, at this point to like express it. So thank you for your patience as I go through this. But I would say that when I was younger, like a child, I had a lot of experiences, if you want to call it that. And it was a pretty like, you know, I was always overly sensitive and there was always like something that I was doing that was like too much. Or so I, at some point, and I didn't realize this until later on, I think I kind of shut down some things. We can't really shut it down, right? But I definitely went through like a cut off phase. So it was like, but it was always still there in retrospect. I think I was just sort of not accessing it as much as I could. And then maybe around 2018, 2017, I started to have some experiences that piqued my interest in things that got me to research more and start to ask more questions, and to really like listen to myself more of stuff that I'd already been experiencing, but was kind of just dismissing or like being dismissed by others, you know? Around 2018, I just sort of like dove into research really intensely and started, this is so cliche, but I actually went and visited Bali. And when I got there, it was like I was introduced to crystals and tarot, and I started having all these experiences, and I was just like a little still like trying to take it from a really grounded approach. But then from there, I feel like I just like my I started having spontaneous astral experiences again, and just like kind of one thing after another. And then a mentor sort of I seeked out a mentor. Well, I didn't seek it out. It kind of showed up, and I said yes. And then from there, it's just been unfolding since, I guess you could say.
What was some, you said you shut down something. So were there like some gifts that was it kind of you were experiencing and seeing things, and then maybe through conditioning and even maybe parental influence, maybe put that aside, or what were the things that you shut down and what were the ones that came back to you?
Well, that's a good question. After, what's that expression? Hindsight is 2020 in retrospect. Sure, I can say it was from conditioning. But there's a story that keeps coming to mind of I went to this woman in, I think maybe 2019. I don't know. I was recommended to go to her, and she did this like sort of body talk modality. And I remember she was saying something that really stuck with me, like, you're basically going to be reintroduced to, I think she called it like the angelic lineage or something like that. And that there was like some version where I planned to, if you will, like disconnect for a moment so that I could know what that was like and then come back. So yeah. Absolutely, conditioning stuff like that, I think, was part of it. And then really just unlearning and retraining the subconscious mind, all those type of things that a lot of us are so into right now. And specifically, it's interesting now to think about, because I definitely, like I said, was still having experiences, but I was so like I just like didn't trust myself at all. And like really like at one point convinced myself that I was, crazy or making things up or overly sensitive. And some of the experiences, like dreams, astral experiences, seeing things before they happen, having conversations with people and feeling like, very deep. I can feel when someone's having pain, right? So then I would take that on in my own body. And for a long time, I could not differentiate that. So those are a few examples, but just knowing things about people and then like them thinking, just a million different things like that. But it was always about me and not being able to like trust myself, I guess. So really
Yeah.
trust and confidence was a big part
Well,
of
it's
it.
interesting what you just shared about pain and you taking it on in your own body, because maybe we can talk about that for a bit. Are you speaking about maybe being overly having or empathetic, where you are feeling people's emotions and you feel the actual pain? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, I have a little bit of a, that's a great way to put it. I have a little bit of like a hard time with the labels, I guess. So yes, that's exactly what it is. But and interestingly, so I'm trying to remember when. At some point I got my own apartment and lived completely on my own for the first time. And that, I think it was in 2018, 2019. And that's when I really saw the difference of whoa, I am not, I actually was really peaceful, because when I was around environments, I was my emotions were so erratic. And I'm not trying to just blame other people. I put my computer on Do Not Disturb. I'm not sure why that came through. Sorry. Yeah, and it's not even about like, blaming other people. It was more like I got to know myself. And then because I was kind of like this blank canvas, I was meditating a lot, I was in my own energy. And then I started to learn the difference of when I would go into certain experiences, then I could feel, whoa, I wasn't experiencing that 20 minutes ago. And then I got the courage to ask people, like, are you having this experience right now? And then I could literally feel like someone has a migraine that's originating from the left temple, or someone just stubbed their toe and I could feel their, you know what I mean? Whatever it is. So it took time and differentiation and patience to see like where
What's yours and what's not?
coming from.
Like to see what's yours and what's not your pain,
Yeah,
right? Because it's not just
exactly.
physical, it's also the emotional pain, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So then what, okay, so what happened and what did you do in order to know that this isn't your pain, or even not even feel it? Like, can you get to, did you get to a point where you wouldn't take on other people's pain?
Okay, that's a really good question as well. there's definitely been phases. I like to say this phrase like phase integration because things come in cycles and phases, right? So, yes and no. I think because in addition to then understanding that facet of being deeply, I guess if you want to call it empathic, I was also, clearing and undoing my own layers of karma, miasma, right? And like sifting through that. So once I could feel something, there was no, the difference is the emotional attachment wasn't there. Because I wasn't invested emotionally, I could feel the pain, but it no longer, because I was clearing my own miasma through it and understanding the emotional aspect and then the astral and the subtle bodies, then I could show up in a way where even if I feel it was almost like there's no. It's fleeting. Like it comes, it goes, and then I can hear the messages that come with it instead of just being overburdened by all of this intrusion of pain and emotions and, things that just continue to, because it's not like it ever really stops. It's just I had to learn, well, I chose to learn and process through that.
Yeah, it's a, probably a good way to, instead of not feeling it at all, having some sort of sensation is a good way for you to recognize that something's actually happening and be
Right,
processed.
exactly. Yeah. Have you ever had experiences like this?
Well, taking on like pain and things like that.
Yeah.
I would say emotional pain I take on a lot, and still not as much as it was even a year ago. I probably a year ago to 20 years ago was pretty much the same. And then
Yeah.
the last year it changed a lot. A good example is like when my parents, my dad has Parkinson's, right? So he's going through some things. He just had back surgery. When he had back surgery a year ago, they thought he could have been paralyzed. And just in knowing he was in pain literally just crippled me. And it wouldn't let me, I wouldn't, couldn't work. I couldn't do anything. I was feeling the pain and I was feeling the depression of that, you know? So when there's somebody I really care for or love and I see that they're in pain, it's almost
Yeah.
like I take on their, I take on the personality traits of someone who cannot communicate properly because the pain is clouding their thoughts. You know what I'm saying?
I
This
know,
is
yes, I know exactly what
not
you're
so
saying.
much anymore, but it still comes up. Yeah. It's, and I've heard like a lot of, you know, a lot of spiritual people are, have so much empathy, but their empathy just goes a little too far, right?
To, as you were talking about your father and like my eyes are tearing and like I can still feel and like I can feel it like moving through the heart. I try to like always go back to that pendulum swing analogy, of like sometimes when we're trying to come back into reharmonization, we go through that overcorrection. I used to watch the show How I Met
Yeah.
Your Mother. I don't know if you ever saw How I Met Your Mother, but they talk about the overcorrection theory. And it's like sometimes they go into the overcorrection. So it's, but there's always something from what I've seen personally and speaking with others that, there's something to be gained. And really, it is all just another, that's why I say phase integration, another cyclical aspect to integrate or to understand. Because if I didn't go through or you didn't go through those aspects, then there's clearly something on the other side of that to come back into integration again, that's the kind
Yeah,
of shows up.
that's a really good way to put it, because what I usually say a lot about this world of duality is that people go from one extreme to another, right? All the time. You know, it's like a great example is politics, left and right, two extremes, right? And it's like where, and I always say the truth is always somewhere in between, in the middle. And but if you're so far one side or the other side, you're not willing to even look at what the other side has to offer. But having that whole understanding that you said of the overcorrection is, yeah, because a lot of spiritual people doing this work, they've received actually a lot of traumas where they felt a lack of receiving that energy, and maybe the overcorrection is them feeling that they're putting out into the world what they never received. That could be it.
Yeah, I and I've thought about this before. It's so funny you say the middle. I was just trying to get the courage to write a little bit because I've been feeling that nudge to write. I just wrote a couple things, and one the second, I think, transmission that came through was all about the middle path, and it was relating back to essentially like different points in time of like epochs and always bringing it back to the body. So like the corpus callosum in the center of the brain, a lot of people right now are, we're into hemi-syncing, right? Because normally it's like, oh, are you stronger left brain or right brain? It's like, well, what about if we unite the two? It's all about like bringing it back into the body, as well as Lemuria and Atlantis was coming up of how, the Lemurian was like the feminine, more jelly-like, soft mother archetype, and then Atlantis being that technological, more advanced, developing the eye, the individual. And then, at some point there was a legend, whether it's metaphorical or literal, a cataclysm that then brings forth, now we're at this time where both are coming back up, and it's like, how do we reconcile and integrate that aspect? So it's like a
Right.
pattern, like, of duality that continues to ripple through so many of our experiences, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, and
Yeah.
really just into phase, polarity integration, essentially.
Right, exactly. Those are great examples, especially, yeah, the right and left brain hemisphere for sure. And, as you're saying, the Atlantis Lemuria thing is interesting because, they were both supposedly advanced civilizations, whether it was technologically or consciousness. The consciousness was expanded. So, but they were predominantly female, feminine energy and masculine energy, divine masculine, divine feminine. But it's almost like the divine masculine, divine feminine can exist without the other counterpart. So it's like it was almost like destined to fail if you're just going to go with one direction. And then, so then there's all these stories about, saying Lemuria existed before Atlantis, but then Lemuria also existed at the beginning phase of Atlantis as well. They had a crossover. And so, whether that's the situation or whether there was another civilization that came to Atlantis from Mars, which is another story, and this other civilization that came, they ended up having a colony in Atlantis. And the colony they had in Atlantis was from people that came from a divine feminine civilization in a divine masculine civilization. And then the divine masculine civilization of Atlantis is having new ideas coming from this feminine energy, and they weren't willing to accept it because they had already crafted the way forward for their civilization, thereby creating some turbulence and falling from grace, falling from that higher state of consciousness. So yeah, it's interesting putting it in the historical context, seeing it manifest like that, right?
Your recapitulation was so a lot of these topics, sometimes it can water it down when we try to l make it linear, but I feel like you have such a gift for doing that. Like you I mean, you obviously been doing this for a long time, and it shows, but still,
Thank you.
it's impressive. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. So, and I want to speak about channeling a bit because we spoke about when you were younger, you were having experiences, and then it came back later in life in 2018, I believe, when you started waking up to these truths, going to Bali, all these things came back online, and now you channel, you do energy light transmissions for people, and is there like are there certain beings? Well, first of all, how did it even come about? Like, was there because I feel we're all channeling. Especially when we're in that flow state, right? But then there's conscious channels where you're literally having relay communication with beings. And I feel that first contact in the future, our first contact, will be us channeling and speaking to beings, right? So when how did channeling come about for you? And are there specific beings and conversations that you've been having?
I just also, before I even say that, want to say that I agree that everyone, that flow state is channeling, regardless of how we want to nuance it. And that's why I always make sure I put that I like to help others, or just like always have that available, that like we all have this and it manifests through us uniquely, and not even always in the same way. I've even gone through phases myself with how it, the output, if you will. So how did it start? Yeah, actually, I remember I got introduced to, I feel like people joke about like marijuana being the gateway drug. I feel like Reiki is like the gateway version of that of energetics, because I got introduced to Reiki, and then I had a really interesting experience. I walked by this place. This was in like 2017, where it was in my neighborhood when I was living in my hometown in Philadelphia. And I'm just taking a stroll, and it was like right before I really started like having these I guess you can say memories come back online. And I had just been in a car accident, actually, and I was having really intense knee pain. And I walked by this place. I had no idea what it was. It was so small, it didn't really have a sign. And I just like my body was like, go inside of here. So I went inside, and it was a Reiki healing place, and I had never heard of it before. Long story short, I was so uncomfortable. The practitioner was like so nice, and she went to touch me, and I was like giggling like a child. Like I was just like, I had never experienced that before, and I was just like, what is this? But then she went right to my knee, and she said, and there was no bruising or anything. And she knew immediately like something happened to my knee, and that really like it was the same knee that I had injured in the car accident. So fast forward, I then got attuned to Reiki, and then through that process, when I was standing with people, I started to like hear things, feel things, see things that most people in the room were not experiencing that. They would just stand there, do the healing, and then walk away. But I was like just being, inundated with different messages through all the different clairs, if you will. So fast forward, then I discovered Gaia TV, I think at that time, maybe 2018. And I heard, then I found channeling, and then I started having dreams of like being prepared in my dream state and memories that I was going through. So it all kind of came to a culmination point. So I just started watching a lot about channeling. And then I had a mentor, like I mentioned before. She was amazing. She showed up and she said, I didn't even tell her, but she said something about channeling and oraculous. Well, she called it oracular channeling. And I came up one day, people kept asking me what I do, and I had to come up with a title. So oraculous style channeling came up, because it felt really important to me not to say, I don't know, it just oraculous style implies, it's a style of showing up in that frequency, not necessarily like I am the oracle. No. Anyway, fast forward to then from there, I just started watching a lot of different types of channeling. And then I became more fascinated with like the story of the channeler, not so much the channeling anymore. And all through this time, I was cultivating my own inner channel and doing practices of, because I was already getting messages and hearing things, seeing things, feeling things. And I made a conscious decision to do conscious channeling and not trance channeling. And I've just been cultivating it ever since.
Beautiful. And I'd love to go down a few of these things that you that do within the channeling, and it would be like kind of like you can give us a definition of what they are and what it benefits people get from it. So we have here integrated divination, DNA, and cellular alchemy. So yeah, I'm curious, what is that and how did it come about for you?
That phrase has come through pretty recently, so I can be a little bit stubborn with information that I receive. It sometimes takes me longer to be comfortable to show up and like really share it. So for the last like couple years, oh, and I remember that you asked about the beings, which I didn't really touch on.
Yes, totally.
I just felt them come in, and they were like, hello.
Don't forget us.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's become so, speaking of integrated divination, it's become so integrated that I think I used to more show up and say like, oh, I feel this, I feel that, but now it
Yeah,
just,
I get you. It's just there.
and speaking of the alchemy, this the DNA cellular alchemy connected to this piece of it is like, each being or collective realm, dimensional perspective as you go through, and I got really into Kelantic science in the last couple years. And that really helped me kind of understand, like, as we connect with these different, we can say individual beings and then collectives, right? It really does, it's starting to feel like each encrypted crystalline DNA strand that comes back online is sort of like that stream of consciousness is then reintegrated. So for a while, I may have felt like a lot of, let's say, Andromeda galaxy come through. and helping me remember one aspect. And then once that's integrated, it's another activated strand. And it's not that I don't have communication with that. It's like literally forms of consciousness that then get re-encrypted. So as I've worked with it in that way, I've also been studying different types of divination the last 4 or 5, 6 years. Tarot, runes, whatever I felt drawn to. And now instead of having the physical tools around, I've integrated it so it just I'll see it. I can look at someone or scry in the sky and just see symbols, or like it's become now where those tools that have been so helpful. I mean, if they show up, they're still very fun, but all of this has become more streamlined into like I've downloaded it, uploaded it, however you want to say it. So now I just call it integrated divination because it's all sort of wrapped with the cellular activation through re-encrypting the DNA as well and the DNA strands and the crystalline consciousness. So,
Right. So it's kind of like a reprogramming and a deprogramming, a reprogramming of our DNA in our cells.
yes, exactly. And like at one point, I was getting a little bit overwhelmed with trying to explain everything at once. And then when I was actually preparing for a presentation recently, that's when I asked for some new upgrades of how I can express, and some of these phrases came in the last year or so.
Okay. So how do we invoke synchronicity, right? Because we all pretty much have our own belief in what it is, but let's just say the definition is that everything happening in the way. Well, what was your definition of synchronicity? Because you know what? I know what it is, but I've never had to explain the definition of it.
It's so
What's your
interesting.
definition of how do we invoke?
I was so hesitant to use that. I actually had a really vivid dream, not that long ago, where I was shown that phrase and like asked to integrate it into my writing, into my description. And I actually like kept it on my, I have like a million notes. I'm a notes list person. I had it like on my list like months, and I refused. And then like one day I saw it, and like, actually, my previous mentor would call it like the angelic spotlight, like when something just, and I was like, okay, I'll put it in. Yeah, that's a great question. So the way it kind of comes through, that saying, all paths lead home. So it's like there's many infinite potentials, but the invoking synchronicity is sort of like anchoring in that path of least resistance. And when we're in that path of least resistance, there's this like, I'm sure most people listening to this are already experiencing versions of this where I want to be careful because it's also mixed in with there's mundane in the ma magic in the mundane too, right? So it's sort of like in a path where things just literally feel least resistant, and there's always something, whether it's internal or an external synchronicity, that is that knowing that to keep going, even if it may not look that way, it's like that there's something here to keep going, or if you need to be redirected. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. So what is does trust have something to do with this as well? So having synchronicity?
Yes. I mean, yes, but like even in my moments of trust has been one of my probably most challenging. They say, right, like some of our most challenging things is what we wind up helping people with later.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yes, but it also, because I've been through so much self mistrust, the path of synchronistic experience has like kept me, if you want to say, reminded to trust as well. So it happens both.
Wow, yeah.
Even if you lose some trust, like it still can happen. And I
It's a
think that,
feedback loop. Yeah, I get you. For me, a good example is that, let's go back 8, 9 years ago where I was not doing too well, but I was still doing Portal to Ascension, but I wasn't really making money from it. And I was working small jobs here and there just so I could get in some money to pay for rent and eat. And when I was, when so every then I got an apartment, and every single month I didn't have rent, right? But within there's a 3-day window for you to pay rent, and within those 3-day windows, something always happened to get me rent. For this went on for like 2 years, and so it was like just imagine the anxiety you have right at the last moment because you can't pay rent, but then all of a sudden The money comes in. And then it literally trained me to start trusting that I was always going to be taken care of. Because after 2 years of everything always working out, it's like, when do you finally realize that everything's always going to work out? And also knowing that if you decide to think that things aren't going to work out, chances are they might not. So even if they might not work out,
Yeah.
you having the deep underlying belief that it will, thereby puts you on that right trajectory. But you don't want to couple that with delusion. You don't want to be
Right.
like, you have to have like some practicality of like, you need to take action to make this happen, right? But yeah, so it's an interesting feedback mechanism there.
That was like such a great example, and I'm going through that myself right now, where I left my previous career in 2022. So the last few years, I've been sort of in that myself, like what you just described 8 or 9 years ago. And, these like volunteer positions, like I mentioned before, of like work trade volunteer, bhakti yoga, like devotion of service, that type of thing has been coming through. And as you were talking about your experience, yeah, and like, imposter syndrome also comes up a lot with that, because it's like I'm sitting here saying all this, but I am personally going through, and I don't speak of this from like a lack mentality at all. Like I have never felt more, whatever word you want to use, but like financially, like I've always worked my whole life and made money. And this time embarking on this, invocation of synchronicity has actually got me to a path where right now this is the least amount of money I've ever had in my entire life. And like, I'm just trusting that something is going to work out. And just like you were saying, things really do. Like, I've been in situations where I'm like you said, like, there is no logical way this is going to happen, but then something comes through and I'm like, oh, okay. But at the flip side of that, I also was hiding a lot and not wanting to show up. And like 2 years ago, I would have never showed up for this interview. I would have come up with some excuse and it wouldn't have happened, So it, like you
Oh,
said,
I
it's
get you.
practicality and taking action too, that
Yeah.
like balancing those too, like for sure.
I'm gonna like I haven't actually ever shared this on a Portal to Ascension event before, but I'll tell you just to show you how insecure I was about showing up. Okay,
Okay.
so 14, 2016, 2015, something like that. I think 2015, I did my first webinar, right? And I was emceeing it, okay. And I was very, very nervous and like scared to host it. And midway in the event, I switched my computer off and I pretended that my internet went down because I had a freaking anxiety attack and I couldn't do it. And I had all these people on the event and I couldn't freaking be honest about it. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
It was freaking intense. Practice makes perfect. Seriously, like you just got to
Yeah.
keep showing up. And so I relate.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, because I think a lot of people, when I was listening to your intro when we first got on this call for Zoom, and you were saying like a lot of people now, no matter what, where you are or what you're doing or what job you do or don't do, just like I was talking about, like phase integrations, the way it comes through for me is like there's waves that come through different, if you want to call it, like portal openings or points, that if you hear the call and or you don't, or you hear it and then you turn off and fake your internet, if you have like a blip, it's like all of that is part of the experiential output of, and like starting to normalize not having shame for things like that, I think is so important as well. So that was vulnerable. And thank you so much for sharing that, because I know that so many people hearing that are going to be like, yeah, I've definitely had my moment in some version of that somewhere. So like,
I mean, it's
normalized.
real. The fear of public speaking is the number one fear in the freaking world,
Yeah.
right before the fear of death, right? It's before the fear of death, right? And it's crazy because that's what we got to do all the time, right? And it's interesting because sometimes I feel more comfortable now speaking in groups than I do one-on-one.
Wow.
It shifted, because I
Yeah.
can present all day, and talk on groups and interviews and stuff. So yeah, it's having that balance. But now back to synchronicity. So what I'm getting here is everything comes to you when you're aligned, you start noticing how things are showing up for you to support you, right? That's what kind of synchronicity is. But it's interesting because synchronization, there's actually, I would say maybe everything's a synchronicity because you're also attracting the negative stuff to you. You're just not aware that you're synchronizing yourself to that.
That's such a good point, and I'm actually being reminded. So when I first, and this is a little bit of an embarrassing story for me, but since we're being vulnerable here, when I don't know, maybe it was around a lot of things, like points for me, it happened around like 2018, 2019. So it was like in that time frame when I had just started really opening back up. And I went to this random, so seemingly random person, and I didn't even plan on getting any kind of reading. Like it was like a, I forget the website when you have events that come up and you can go to your local spots. Literally the name just escaped me. But anyway, so I was just trying to like get out there and get out of my comfort zone, meet new people. So I show up at this place and this woman did this reading and she was basically like, not every single thing is going to be a sign. Like, 'cause I was in that phase of like, whoa, 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 you know? And like, I really was like overly looking for things. And at the time, I was like, I was a little bit embarrassed, but like, she was extremely right on. Like, I was very like, because there was like so much around all the time. So it was also like we've been talking about the middle path of reintegrating that, like, even if you don't get the sign or the synchronicity in that moment, to trust that, like, it will come when it needs to as well. It's not just about always being in, it's not about being in perfect alignment necessarily. It's more of like coming back to knowing that like things will circulate our field until we see it, if that's what's going to happen, you know? And that also has been part of it as well.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, so we have a few more minutes left, and I think it would be good to close out with this question. Okay. Since you had gifts that went dormant or went to the sidelines for a while, that came back, and now you're even sharing with people on how they can get tap into their own gifts, what I want to do like a two-part question. So what does the future look like for you, for us, for world, and what kind of gifts and extrasensory abilities could we expect to have in our future?
Wow. Okay, so it's funny because before we started this call, we were joking how when we travel a lot, airplanes become exhausting. I've been having a lot of dreams for years now. I bring up dreams a lot because it's a big part of my experience, and like subconscious lucidity is something that comes through often as well. So I think and I feel very deeply that because so many of us are having our own unique like lineage come through, and then at another phase we then come together and bring them into community, that there's still that co-creative aspect of potential and bringing in something that maybe we can't foresee. So I think there's an element of surprise, an element of surprise as well.
Love
But
that.
with that being said, there's also some of the, I've always had a hard time with like tradition, I guess. But then I also have learned to value tradition in a way, but then to also integrate that with things that I feel that maybe other people dismiss, like we talked about before. And one thing that I've seen when I have like a new, if you want to call it, extra sensory perception come online, I will be shown something in my dreams first sometimes, and then I'll work with it in dream time and show up. So I think that in itself is a form of how we can train in different altered states of consciousness and then bring that through, but not with such a heavy expectation that it's going to be exactly the same. It's like we get to experience this liminal space and co-creation there, and then see how it can show up for us over time physically. And then, like you said, at first you were so nervous to do public speaking. I know that may not be ESP, but now it's so comfortable to you that like one-on-one is a little bit difficult. So I think it's going to be this like give and take and cyclical experience. And I keep being shown like star forts and like the idea of the geodesic dome and the grids, and how like the more that we all, those of us who feel called to, like, if you want to call it the organic ascension timeline, again, kind of like the Lemurian Atlantis integration is coming back online of like living in a cohesive. I used to be really against AI and things like this, but embracing the tools that come up, and again, the integrated divination of showing up in ways where if we utilize a tool for some period and how we can express that in the practicality and with the ESP. So, we can get into the good stuff of like teleportation. Like they say, star forts were utilized for people to practice where there was an energetic vortex of flow where the person could tune in and be able to streamline their own consciousness and practice some of these things that feel like mystical, or magical, or the upper cities. And it's not something I believe, like in the yogic traditions, they say the upper cities, you don't seek them out. They start to happen spontaneously when the person is ready. And I really do believe that we can prepare, but I also think it's important not to overly chase these things, because as we continue to like live in the mystical, mundane aspect and incorporate these aspects, things will sort of align in that time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. I love everything you said, especially the last part of not chasing it, because the more you're chasing things, I feel like the universe is one big Xerox machine. The more you're chasing something, the more you're going to get back the need to chase something, and you're never going to find peace. So, and it's interesting, the best way to ever be ascended or be in that beautiful world is to be present in the moment. And if you're present in the moment, maybe you're not in an ascended world, but that presence allows for that world to be created. So if all of humanity just had, oversimplifying it, of course, but just had a connection to the now, to the beauty of this moment, of what it means to be human, we could change the world overnight. The quantum reality could literally shift. The computer program could change screen. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? Yeah.
Yeah. I do just want to add that, like, I do, because I've thought about this a lot, and I wholeheartedly do feel that, like, the wind is picking up as I say this. There are these phases of, remembrance of maybe what it feels like to not want to be here or to be
Yeah.
human, if you will. And I really do. It's not that I would ever suggest that, but I do believe, I've spoken to so many people and I've definitely gone through that phase of, like, oh, like this is exhausting and I'm tired. Like, I don't want to do this, So I think that part sort of does sneak in, and that instead of trying to like pretend like it doesn't exist, it's okay. But I do feel like that rebalancing does come within. And, maybe those of us who have gone through that can help others in the future not have to be in it longer or as deeply. But I do feel like it
Yeah.
can be part of the re-encryption, if you will. But yeah,
Yes. Yeah, I
I just
love
didn't want to
that.
make anyone feel badly if they're there right now, because I totally, I've been there and I get it, and it's not, yeah, but I totally agree with everything you said.
Yeah. Jess, thank you so much. It's been really nice talking to you. So before we close out here, I would love for you to share, let everybody know your website, what services you offer, and how they can get a hold of you.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, my website is my name, Jess, Jess Rothenstein, the U is silent. It's really long. Do you want me to spell it?
Yeah, you can spell it out.
Okay, ROUTHENSTEIN.com. A lot of people like tried to convince me to change to not use my name, but for some reason I used my
I like your name.
Jess Rothenstein. Anyway, so that's my .com, and then I have a YouTube with some complimentary content that I've been creating, Jess Rothenstein, and a Patreon as well for a little bit more exclusive content, membership stuff, and it's all under Jess Rothenstein.
Okay, and then you have I'll just let everybody know, Jess has different types of offerings on her websites. If you want to work with Jess, she has integration and tune-up session, she has one-on-one channeling, energetic light transmissions, intuitive dimensional body work. So check her out, Jess Rothenstein, but with a U, ROU, .com, and also on the speakers page on our website. And you're going to be seeing a lot more of Jess on Portals Ascension. This is the beginning. This is the debut for Jess. So look forward to that. Just thank you so much for being here with me and having a conversation with me today. I'm really excited to get to know you more and to do a lot more work with you in the future.
Oh my God, thank you so much. And yeah, thank you.
It's my pleasure. All right, everybody, thank you for tuning in. This is Neil with Portal to Ascension. Check us out at portaltoascension.org or our podcast, Portal to Ascension Radio, on all podcast platforms. And since I'm here with you, I'll let you guys know that we're launching a new website. The new website will be done in a month. If you know anything about Portal to Ascension, it's been chaotic few years of trying to get this site up, but we now have a whole new platform being launched. So look forward to that. And I'll send out some more information about that soon. So thank you all. Appreciate everyone and take care. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for tuning in to Portal to Ascension Radio. Be sure to check out all the amazing gatherings we have listed on portaltoascension.org that are designed to assist in a collective consciousness shift. Each one of you that signs up gets access to hours of free content. You may also explore our YouTube channel and Instagram at Portal to Ascension. We are the ones that we have been waiting for. And this is the moment for us to realize the potential we all have and begin to create harmony on planet Earth.